Thank you, Lord. We worship you. You're worthy, O God, of all our praise, all our worship, all our adoration, and much more. When we consider all that you've done for us, how you've brought us through different situations, circumstances, knowing the limitations that we have, we recognize, oh God, that if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. If it weren't for your grace, where would we be? The enemy of our soul seeks so desperately to cut us off. But Lord, oh God, your hand sustains us. You keep us. You strengthen us. You uphold us with your right hand of righteousness. Day in, day out, the enemy of our soul is disappointed when he thought he had us. To his greatest disappointment, all he had was a mirage, nothing. For Lord, O God, we have and have always been hidden in you, hidden from the lies and the deceptive ways of the evil one. We thank you for your protection, for your provision, for your peace, for your prosperity. We thank you for divine health. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to speak, to walk, to move in your goodness. Blessed be your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for a wonderful year. Thank you for life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this wonderful evening for a time of prayer together. Tonight, we are going to pray through Psalm 24. Psalm 24. This is a psalm that's of great importance to me. When Mama and I came into this country, May the 1st of 1981, we came in with a student visa. Shortly after that, that was expired. We knew God wanted us in this country, had an assignment for us. Things were difficult in Nigeria at that time. The economy had tanked. We couldn't get any money from back home. Foreign exchange was very limited. But the Lord had brought me through a school. I was in California when the Lord asked me, or made a statement rather than asked. He said to me, "You have another God." And I promptly said, "No, I don't have any other God other than you. You are my God, and I worship you. I bless your holy name. I have no other gods but you." So he asked a question, actually two questions. He said to me, "If you have this need, and you have that need, what would you do?" I said, "I'll write to my dad." So he asked another question. "What will you do?" I said, "I'll write to my dad." This was before the economy tanked. I was still in California. Dad will send me funds, 10,000 here, 20,000 here, and I just blew it because I didn't know the value of money. Next month I'm asking for some more money. What did you do with the money? Well, I have to buy this, I have to buy that. Just foolishness. So now, we've immigrated into Canada, the economy is down, and I could not write home and get anything. The only person I can now trust is God. He had asked me the question, because he knew ahead of time what was going to happen, and he knew he needed to shift me from depending on my father, earthly father, to depending on him. Now we had no money, and you need money to stay in the country. And we used to go to the immigration office almost every month to give reason why we should still be in this country. And there was one verse that we held on to through those years. It was Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That was our passage. We took that word. Canada belongs to you. Nobody's going to kick me out of this place. Canada belongs to you. God showed himself strong. I remember kneeling by the bed at Suite 9, 285 Dufferin, just a few blocks from here. The next day we're going to go to immigration. At that time it was by the convention center. It warned us that they were going to deport us. Holding on to that word. Other times we've had, actually one time somebody opened a bank account for us, gave us a passbook, $1,000 in it. We didn't tell anybody what our problem was. So hold on to this. This was a lady, I don't know if she's still around, bless her. Her name was Evie O'Hara. We went to immigration and they gave us a month. We had $1,000. They gave us a month and warned us. Number one, we could not work in this country. I wasn't going to break the law. I wasn't going to lie. I only had that verse. And the next day we're going to immigration, and the Lord said to me, he said, ask me to see the manager. I didn't even know they had a manager there. So on our knees, I said, Lord, tomorrow when we go to the immigration offices, let us see the manager. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Next day we went, and the place was packed. It's like every person that needed to deal with immigration was in that hall that day. Some little space. people were all over the place. Cut a long story short, I saw three guys walking out. One of them was bald, and I noticed him for some reason. And I didn't see them come back. I didn't know there was another door from the outside where they can go into the facility. He comes out, walks up to the counter, picks up a file, and mumbled a name that sounded close enough. So we responded, and he takes us past all the cubicles. We kept on going. All the cubicles that we've visited all these years, months, and he goes into an office, a real office, sits across this desk. We sit down, and what do we see? Manager. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, God. This guy didn't know how to fill the visa forms. He kept on getting up and going, and we'll look, he's pulling out books. He can't go and ask one of his employees, how do you do this? He's supposed to be in charge. Finally, he finishes everything, and we're about to leave. He's given us 6 months. 6 months. He says, by the way, how much money do you have? I said, we don't have any money. He said, no. I'm not asking you about how much do you have here. How much do you have at home or in the bank? I said, we don't have any money. You don't have any money at all. So, this is the first time we showed up without money. And we leave with 6 months visa. Within that 6 months, God had changed the projectile, the narrative. I'd been invited within that 6 months to go pastor a church that was just down the street from here. Called up, our board, just our council, they called it. Our council just voted you our minister of evangelism and visitation, and you cannot say no. I said, I'm not going to say no, but you have to get me a working permit. He said, no problem. God changed everything. The one verse we had was that. I say all of that to say this evening as we pray. No matter what your situation is, no matter how impossible it might seem, we have a God who reigns over the affairs of men. He knows every detail. He knows what to do when we don't. And today, let us just celebrate that fact that we have a God, and this earth belongs to Him. And everyone here belongs to Him. He can choose to do whatever He needs to do by working with the hearts of men. So our prayer today is, first of all, one, thank you, Lord, that you are in charge. And two, God, influence the hearts of men, that they may do that which is pleasing in your sight. Whatever influence he needs, and whichever way he elects to influence us. What will he do? Maybe he will show up in a dream. Maybe he will give us fresh desires. Redirect us sovereignly by his grace. But what I do know is we need God today like never before. When man thinks he's had everything all put together and locked up, just like they locked up Peter, he makes him walk out of a locked door. Because he's still God. He's still God. Rise with me. Let us pray. Just talk to God. Give him thanks that he is in control, that the earth is his, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everyone belongs to God. So we ask now that God will influence us and influence people around us so that everyone begins to align themselves to the will and the directives of God, our sovereign God, who owns all things. The silver and the gold is his. He is the God who apportions to every man a peace. Let us begin to thank him. Thank you, Father, that all things are yours. We belong to you. Whatever it is that we have belongs to you. Lord, O God, all mankind belongs to you. Father, we thank you that therefore all things are subject to your authority. All things are subject to the authority of your name. And thank you, Lord, O God, that you have elected to bypass the systems in the realm of the miraculous by coming and living inside of us. God, you who separated yourself from the world and gave control to man, you have come inside of us to take control of the things that are in the earth. So, Father, this day in the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender our lives to you. The Lord, O God, that you will influence every aspect of our lives. The Lord, O God, that the words that we say and speak, that the words that we declare and decree by the authority of your everlasting name will take root, O God, in the earth. The Lord, O God, that your words will rule and reign in our world. Father, influence the hearts of men. Let all be subject to the authority of your name. For in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Lord, O God, establish your lordship in our world. Lord, O God, you are the landlord. You are the one, O God, that lords over all things in the earth. Father, take reign, O God, Father, and do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. Extract, O God, from our lives all that is not of you, and infill us with your spirit of your truth, that we may be established in every area. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your authority. Your authority, O God, is over all things. And so, Lord, O God, we declare that all things align themselves now to the truth of your word. That every sickness, every disease, every ailment bow to that authority right this very moment. And Lord, O God, that we will walk in divine health, divine prosperity, divine favor. O God, because your goodness is revealed in us. The earth is yours. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, they all belong to you. So Lord, O God, influence, O God, your field. In the mighty name of Jesus, do for us what no man can. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The second verse says, for he had founded it upon the seas, the earth. He says, he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Remember, the whole world was water. And then God called land out of water. Praise the Lord. When he did that, he made that which was fluid handle this solid mass. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. He established it upon the floods. The image that God wants us to embrace here is this, that he's a God who can make things work in impossible settings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If God wants you to rise, he will pull you out of that which is hiding you. Everything that he created or recreated, he called out of water. The birds came out of the water. Praise the Lord. Trees came out of the water. They were all hidden by water. Out of view, God called light to come out of darkness. That's strange, because light should never be overtaken by darkness. But somehow, darkness overwhelmed light, and God called it out. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by circumstances. People don't understand, why is my life like this? I should have a better life than this. And no matter what you do, it's like you're held bound. But God says, that which bound you, I'm going to cause you to make it your foundation. You mean it's not going to overwhelm me? No. I'm going to cause that thing that was meant to be trouble for you to be what holds you up. Wow, God. You'll do that? Yes. Yes. As he speaks, our lives turn around. Our prayer is this: God, turn that which was meant for evil in my life to now work out for my good. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, the enemy many times has strategies and all kinds of crazy ideas to just keep us limited, keep us bound, keep us in a place of obscurity. But Lord, oh God, today we are ignited by the life that you give to know, God, that you're able to cause all things to work together for our good. So, Father, this day we receive the word of deliverance and we break forth out of every limitation. Like light, we break forth out of the darkness by the command of your word. And we embrace, O God, the realities of God, not the realities of the devil and his cohorts. We embrace, O God, the realities, O God, that are birthed out of your mind, out of your word. Father, we are what you say we are, not what the enemy intends. Father, again, disappoint the enemy and cause us, O God, to be established in the setting that was meant to hide us and sink us. Father, we take our rightful place, our rightful position, because of grace, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of God continues and says to us, he says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That one, he says, shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We see in that third verse, he asks the question, who is it that's going to ascend onto the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And tells us the answer. He that had clean hands. We're going to ask God that our hands be clean, that we have pure hearts, and that our soul not be lifted unto vanity, neither shall we swear deceitfully. We'll not be people of deceit. There's so many that are deceitful. They tell you one thing while they're thinking something else. They tell you, I'm with you, while they're busy stabbing you. People live in the realm of deceit, and God says, those kind of people will not ascend to his holy hill. The Bible tells us, we read from Mark 3 Wednesday in a leadership meeting, how the Lord Jesus Christ went up a mountain. And when he went up that mountain, he called some from the crowd that they first be with him. When the word of God talks about ascending into the hill of the Lord, it's talking about who is it that's going to have a relationship with me? He says people with clean hands. In other words, they're not sticking their hands into muck and mucky stuff. Their hearts are pure. Pure unto God. That's what we want. God, cleanse my hands from every filth. Give to me a clean heart. You know, the psalmist says, prepare me that clean heart. I need that clean heart. Give me your Holy Spirit. Don't take it away from me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 50, he had just messed up royally. He'd put his hands in the wrong place. He'd messed up with Bathsheba. He was a total mess. At the time that he was supposed to be as a king in the battlefront, he'd listened to the wisdom of men. You're too old to be going to fight. Just stay home. It was the setup of the devil. Too old to go fight, but not too old to fool around. What a mess up. And now he's blown it and he cries out to God. And God God turned his evil situation around. And from Bathsheba came a Solomon. That which the enemy meant for evil, God flipped around. He's always checkmating the devil. When the enemy thinks he's got it, like we've prayed a moment ago, it was just a mirage. It just looked like there was something there, but no, it's smoke and mirrors. God turned it around. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying clean hands is not necessary because you've always had clean hands. Sometimes it's because of God's mercy, God's loving kindness. So we're going to lift up our hands and say, God, give me clean hands. I want to come up that holy mountain and have a relationship with you so that I can be a vessel that you can use in this last of the last days. God, I receive clean hands. I receive a pure heart. I want to live a life that honors you. as I worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Thirdly, help me not to lift up my soul unto vanity. What does that mean? It means defining ourselves based on the natural systems of this world. On one hand, God says to us, give and it shall be given unto you. But the world says, get what you can. And just hold on to everything, because there's trouble, save for the rainy day. And so people go in that route into vain things, or they measure themselves based on other people around them, and they do things that they have no business doing because they want to be like the Joneses. So they give themselves to deceit. We're going to ask God, give me a pure heart and help me to prioritize the kingdom of God, so that I'm not pursuing after vain things and I'm not swearing deceitfully. There were those in the book of Acts that said, we've given all, like Ananias and Sapphira, but they were swearing deceitfully, and the end of them was death. We're going to ask God, help me to be true to you and true to myself. I receive a pure heart and clean hands. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful privilege of being able to call upon you. Lord, O God, you are the God who forgives us all sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You give us, O God, the ability to pursue after your will and after your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call out to you this day. Give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart. Oh, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, oh, mighty God, help us, O God, not to pursue vanity and live deceitful lives. By your grace, help us to be real, because your grace is sufficient. Blessed be your holy name. For a clean heart, pure heart, clean hands, total surrender to your divine will and purpose, being truthful to you, to others, and to ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to switch off to Psalm 50 and verse 10 for a moment, and I'll come back to Psalm 24. In this psalm, actually, let me take it from I'll take it off from verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee, I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. Here God is saying, you know what you're supposed to do? I'm not going to talk to you about it. You know exactly what you need to do. He says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Who's going to come up this mountain? It's a mountain that has full provision. He says, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Is that not how we started today? Psalm 24. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. So just do what you know you should be doing. I don't need it. It's not for me. It's for you. He says, in the day of trouble, because that day is going to come. You know, you cannot miss it. It will find you. The storm of life comes for everybody. He says, but in that day of trouble, he says, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Why? You've built up a relationship. He says, but unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to declare my statutes? What hast thou to declare my statutes? Notice the sentence, what hast thou? What do you have to declare my statutes, or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth? What do you have? In other words, your sacrifice speaks for you. He says, what do you have? You wicked. Nothing. You build in your own kingdom, you're doing your own thing. See, you have nothing. And you don't have the right to speak my covenant out of your mouth. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. You know, what does the Bible call a thief? It says, you've robbed me in your giving. He says, and you consenting, you are agreeing with people. Well, you know, it's okay, God. It's okay. God understands. He says, and has been partaker with adulterers. Huh. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. That's one thing we've been talking about. God would deliver us from that deceitful lifestyle. He says, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. And on it goes on. We want to pray that we are fully aligned to the will and purpose of God for our lives. In our speech, in our giving, in the lifestyle of living that we embrace, that we are doing what God has called us to do as His people. When we do that, the name of the Lord will be exalted. Amen. So let's just pray. God, help me to be fully aligned to your will so that my life honors you at all times. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for supernatural alignment in our thought life, in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes. Let everything about my life and the life of your people glorify you. Take full reign, Most High God, and bring us to that place where we become vessels of honor unto you, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. We embrace your word and your truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us also pray. As the word of God states in Psalm 24 and verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Now, that is a very specific thing. The blessing is not a blessing. The blessing is the blessing that produces blessings. Do you understand? When God brings us to that place where we are in alignment with him, he brings us to that place where we are able to receive the blessing. Let me put it this way. If God were a quarterback and he takes the ball and he throws it to you, he did his part, but are you able to connect with the ball and receive it? Or does the ball hit your hand and bounce off and you have a turnover or an incomplete? You know, so many times we ending up with incompletes and sometimes turnovers. Not because God is not the perfect quarterback. He puts it right in the pocket. He connects it. But it's one thing for God to send it your way. It's another thing for you to receive it. And that's what he's saying here. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the quarterback. You receive it. And not only do you receive that, you receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. And that's a gift that God gives to us. We're not righteous because we acted righteously. We are righteous because God gave us righteousness. And through that righteousness, we act righteously. We have a right standing. We have access, relational access. Righteousness is about access. Praise the Lord. Being able to stand before God faultless, without blame. Let us pray. Father, help me to connect with you in such a way that the blessing is received in my life until I become the manifestation of the blessing. I and the blessing becoming one. If you stick a magnet to a metal for a long time and rub it on that metal that was not a magnet, all of a sudden becomes a magnet. True? So when the blessing comes on you and is received, you become the blessing. Praise the Lord. You've come the blessing, the manifestation of the blessing. Because you've become one with the blessing. It reminds me, I've told you this story before. The Lord asked me a question. He said, do you want to be holy? I said, yes. Do you want to be powerful? I said, yes. Do you want to know how? Yeah. So he asked me a few questions. He said, at this time I was not married, was single. He says, imagine for a moment that you're married and you traveled and your wife didn't know that you were coming home this particular day, and she's in the kitchen cooking and she looks out the window and she sees you coming. And she runs out and she gives you a hug. He said, would you know that she had been in the kitchen even though you didn't see her there? I said, yeah. He said, how? I said, she'll be smelling like the food she's been cooking. Okay. And I didn't expect God to give me this next question, because it is the weirdest question. He said, if you went into a bar that they were, and they were smoking in there, just smoking, and you came out of that place, will you smell like the smoke in there? I said, yeah. And he said, am I a holy God? I said, yes, you are. He said, am I powerful? I said, yes, you are. He said, okay, just spend some time with me. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm in your presence and I stay here quietly before you. And you stayed there for about an hour or so. Then I got out, went. I was at this time in a teacher training college called Nana College. And I saw some guy walking and I said, oh, hi man, how are you doing? I touched him and he went, ooh, what is that? I said, what? He said, you shocked me. I said, I don't know. And somebody else. And touched somebody, it's like they were going to fall over. I'm thinking, what's going on? He said, didn't I say, just stay with me? Oh, I had caught the atmosphere of his presence. It was hanging on me. He did that just to show me what that all meant. Well, God wants to connect us with the blessing. Oh, what? I spent all this time. I should have just gone to verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Oh, Jacob, Selah. Our prayer is going to be this. God, help me to be a seeker of your presence. To want to be in your presence and to be impacted by your presence. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is joy forever. There is no lack in the presence of God. Everything God needs is present before him. And the Lord said something to me. I don't know when it was now, was Sunday night or Wednesday. I'm not too sure now. Possibly Sunday night last. I don't know. Anyway, he said to me, he said, you know there is you in the earth and there's you in the heavens. I said, yeah. He says, you in heaven has no lack. And I'm listening to the Lord speak this to me. He says, you don't have any lack. It's you here that lacks. So when you talk about the kingdom of God coming and the will of God in the heavens being done in the earth, it is you connecting with you. Oh, wow. Now that is something. Me connecting with the me that is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says, no one has ascended but he that's descended, even he that is in heaven. He was talking as while he was in the earth, he was in heaven, in present tense. Today we're going to ask for that connection of heaven on earth. God's kingdom done, God's will done in the earth as it is in heaven. God's will in the heavens is perfect. There is no trouble there. But I need to have a download. Amen? I need a connection. So we're gonna ask God to help us to make that connection with Him and with the real us in Him. Praise the Lord. Now there are challenges, but we're going to make that connection. Praise God. So let us pray. God, help me to be fully connected to you and the fullness that you have of you in me in the heavens. Heavenly Father, we are limited in our understandings, but Lord, oh God, you are not. So we ask, oh God, for a connection, a supernatural connection with you, with your person. Father, you said concerning us that we are hidden in you, in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your presence there is fullness, total provision. We draw on that total provision for the manifested glory of your presence in us. That presence, oh God, that cannot be tarnished, that cannot be resisted. That presence, oh God, that brings to life, brings to manifestation your perfect will. We make that connection this day. We ask, oh God, for a deep desire, deep within us, an insatiable desire to be in your presence, to have a prayer life, a word life, a life that glorifies you. Do that for every one of us. That our pursuit, O God, to see your kingdom come and your will done, be made manifest like never before. Every need met. Every need met. Every need met. Every question answered. Because all things are subject to you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, make us the manifestation of the blessing. Well, the last few verses of Psalm 24. This is a passage of scripture that we many times assign to the time of the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord. But it's far reaching than that, because it's talking about the challenge, the resistance that the enemy poses to try to impede what God's will is. So there's a proclamation. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, Remember that gates have to do with governance and government. So when the Bible talks about the gates of hell, it's talking about the government of hell. The systems of hell shall not prevail over his church. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, those gates are gates that block entrance, that block access. And it translates in different ways and in different capacities to different things in our lives, in the natural and the realm of the spirit. It says, and be ye lift up. See it this way. You have your garage door. And you come in. In that garage door has the capacity to have a sensor in it that sees you come in, identifies your plate, your vehicle, that's coming. We don't have it yet, but it's coming. And as soon as you see it, it lifts up. But see it this other way, that which was supposed to lift up is not lifting up because it does not recognize your vehicle, does not recognize something is blocking the plate or whatever, and it's not connecting. This is Jesus coming, and he says, lift up. You must recognize me. You're not going to stand in challenge to me. I am the King of glory. Hallelujah. But look at it this way, that Jesus has just taken on all of your sins and all of my sins. And what the enemy wants to remind him of is that, hey, you can come here. You became sin. And Jesus says, that was then, and this is now. That was then, and this is now. If you don't know it, I just kicked all of you guys, and I got the keys. Single-handedly, I wiped all of you guys. So, gates, get up, move. Let the King of glory come in. Tonight we're going to pray and declare that every resistance to God's victorious will for my life, for your life, that they move out of the way. In the name of Jesus. Because there's always a challenge. You've heard me say it before. Anytime God says something, the enemy will always try to do the opposite. If God says, you are a victor and not a victim, the enemy wants you to be the victim and not the victor. If the Lord says, this is your time to celebrate in the joy of the Lord, the enemy will try to bring mourning and grief so that you don't celebrate. But you and I must stand true to what God said, not what the circumstance says. You everlasting doors, lift up, let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? That's a challenge. Who is this King of glory? We don't recognize you. Okay, I tell you what. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. You want a piece of me? Stay down. When I get there, I'm going to blast right through you. So move it. I know who I am. Our prayer is this, God, any resistance to your perfect will for my life, let it move out of the way. And Lord, anything that will cause me to doubt who you say I am, let it move out of the way. Let me move in the full assurance of knowing that I am a son and a friend, a priest of the Most High God. Amen? That's who we are. You're a friend of God. You're a son of God. You're a royal priesthood. And you are a peculiar person. Unique. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us come into that recognition and let everything that tries to stand in our way fall apart. Pray. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we are well assured, O God, of who we are in you. And this day we embrace the integrity of the truth of your word, and we place judgment on every action and every activity of the evil one, every resistance to your will. Lord, O God, breaks down this very moment. Every resistance, O God, to the victorious plans and purposes that you have for our lives is now removed by the authority of your word. Anything that will cause us to doubt who you say we are, Lord, O God, this day, Father, by the authority of your everlasting word and name, we debunk now. We bring it to naught right now. It is removed, and we are fully assured, Lord, O God, that we are your sons and daughters. We are fully assured, the Lord, O God, that we are your chosen ones, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Hallelujah. The blessed of the Lord, highly favored of you, growing in stature, in wisdom, in knowledge, O God, and in favor with God and with men. Father, in every area of our lives, we are in full alignment, O God, to the integrity of your word. Having been declared righteous by you, we have full access, and nothing can stop us. For Lord, your name is written on us. O God, your name is written on our foreheads, that the blessing of the Lord may abide with us at all times. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let us wrap up. The passage of Scripture. Who is this King of glory? Remember verse 9, it basically repeats what 7 and 8 states. But who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. That's very key. He is the King of glory. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the Lord over the hosts, the army of heaven, and the army in the earth. So we're going to pray, God, make us your host in the earth. Amen? Make us your host, your fighting force in the earth. He said, occupy till I come. And with that, we'll wrap up. And included to that will be the prayer for the service this Sunday, that the Lord be with us in a powerful way. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you've made us your host in the earth. We are your military force, militant, fierce men and women, strong, because you have strengthened us. Lord, you've empowered us. You've graced us with your awesome power. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that as your fighting force, we are capturing grounds. We are taken back that which the enemy stole. We step, oh God, into a season, a realm, an eternal realm of restoration, taking back whatever the enemy stole in the mighty name of Jesus. Leading captivity captive, you gave gifts unto man. Lord, oh God, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that those that have been held captive by the enemy are even now being set free, and you are gifting men and women, Lord, oh God, so that they can live lives that glorify you. We thank you, God, for the awesome time that we will have this Sunday. Already it has happened, and Lord, oh God, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we are stepping into the fullness that you already know about. Lord, oh God, the lives that are going to be impacted, the bodies that are going to be healed, lives, oh God, that are going to be transformed, financial breakthroughs, oh God, that's going to happen for people, a spiritual awareness, oh God, that's going to be birthed, oh God, in each man, each woman, each child. We give you praise for all that you have done and all that you continue to do in us and with us. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the privilege, oh God, of giving to the purposes of the kingdom. And thank you, Lord, oh God, that all of our hearts are in alignment with your will and your word. And Lord, oh God, we are not hoarders, we are givers. We are not just takers, oh God, we are those, oh God, that bless. And thank you, Lord, oh God, that your blessings are abounding in our lives. We bless everyone that is part of this prayer time tonight. We continue to thank you, Lord, for each life and for the increase of this body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.